Father, you are so good to us. Thank you, Lord. You're good all the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight, you'll be real good to us. Thank you, Father. You are a blessing to us, Father. We are a blessing to the nation of this area, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask for the wonderful Holy Spirit that He would reveal Himself in a very, very powerful way to us tonight, Father. Reveal in our hearts what you would like us to know, what you'd like us to have today. Thank you, Lord. We just give our hearts to you right now. We yield our whole spirit, soul, and body at this hour, at this time, to hear what you have to say to us through your mighty word, by your spirit, in and through your servants of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, go ahead, be seated. Scratched on a few notes tonight. I do have a lesson, but I did make some extra lessons. I thought, this word been ringing out in my spirit last few days. And I began to make confession of that, and that God is faithful. God is faithful. Then I begin to say, oh, He's faithful to bless. He's faithful to heal. He's faithful to prosper. He's faithful to promote. Amen. Praise God. He's faithful to give us a word in season. Oh, hallelujah. God is faithful, man. He's always the same. You can always depend on Him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 28, and we're going to read several verses of Scripture just to get us started tonight. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, I'm going to read the King James Version. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, reckoned with them, so that he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also, which had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he that which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest where I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. The Lord, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that which had 10 talents. Unto every one that hath shall be given, and there shall have abundance. But unto him that had not shall be taken away, even that which he had not had. Cast ye therefore that unprofitable servant into darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're looking at the principle of being faithful. being faithful to God and being faithful to what he has given us. Every one of us has something. God has given unto us different things, different talents, different abilities. And as you can see here, God uses this illustration. He said, this is how the kingdom of God works. God gives us something to do, gives us abilities. And then he expects us to produce, to be fruitful and productive, you know, faithful in whatever he's called us, has given us. And we should take what we have and begin to use it for the kingdom of God. Everything that God has given you, or us, individually and collectively. Now, looking from that verse of scripture, God had given five, and God has given, I believe it was two there, and another one. And it says that they all, you know, two out of the three gained something, the other one didn't. And you can look at that and said, you know, you cannot be judged on what you do not have to give. You know, God's not going to come to you and ask you for something that you don't, he never gave you. God has to give you something for you to be faithful in. So in order to be faithful, you know that he's given you something, and you put that in use for the kingdom of God. So you can't be judged on what you don't have, but you will be judged on what God has given you and what he's told you to do. Also, you can go from few to many. There are people who's got more, other people who don't have too much. But we all have to be faithful no matter what. God is generous, and God is the kind of God that is he's faithful, but he's also just. He doesn't demand from you that what you don't have. And the other thing about it, we can't compare each other from another person, because everybody is different. 1 Corinthians, you know, Romans 12 and verse 6 says we're all given different degrees or different gifts. And verse 6, we got different functions. We operate differently. So you can't compare yourself to somebody else, because God has given you, like if you say to look at somebody else, well, you know, you have, say, for instance, you have a little talent or some kind of talent, and some people have more than that, you know, and you compare yourself to that. And you will come up short every time and feel bad. The only thing that will stop you from feeling bad is doing what God told you to do and being faithful and sure of what he said to do. Therefore, you don't come short. You just say, well, thank God I got this, and I'm grateful for what God's given me. And when a man is like that, God gives him more. One all hallelujah there, praise God. But that's good. Guy with one talent, he wasn't really faithful with it. But the guy with more, he was productive. And we need to be faithful in little things. Over in Luke 16:10, Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to tithe, you know, when I get lots of money. If you can't tithe on $10, you ain't going to tithe on $100 or $1,000. You know, and that's the way it is. You say, well, you know, there's the church service is open on Wednesday night. Well, I don't care much to go with Wednesday night. I'm too busy. God provided that just for you, and you just kind of take it or leave it. It's not about take it or leave it. If God told you something, God brought you here, he must want you here somehow. He's preparing you for tomorrow. And whatever he does something, he's preparing you for the next stage. And that's why some never, they wonder why they never progress. It's because they never are not faithful what God puts before them. You don't have to be asked to do anything by me or any of the staff. You just have to follow what God told you to do. I learned that from watching Brother Hagin and Keith Moore and those guys. I used to feel bad. I said, you know, where's everybody on a Wednesday night? God dealt with me. He said, you know what? Hey, you do what I tell you to do. I'm going to reward you for being there. And all those guys, they have to answer to me anyway. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. Praise God. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be happy. Praise God. And just enjoy myself. If anybody else is not faithful, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to complain who's not here and so forth and so on, because you don't need to hear that. You want to hear that? No, you don't want to hear that. But, you know, once in a while I'll say something because I think it needs to be said, but I'm not going to complain about it. There's a difference between saying something and complaining about it every week. So, if you're faithful with the little, you'll be given much more, and you'll be given more opportunity. There's much more unfaithfulness in the church than ever before in this modern day, because somehow the standards of the world have crept into the church, and that's why Romans 12 said, do not be like the world. And a good example of that in the church of Corinth, the lust of the world around them begin to creep inside the church, and they begin to pick up those kind of morals. You have to prove yourself to God first. You know, God's watching you, and He'll move you anytime He wants to move you. He doesn't have to. He'll speak to you, and He'll talk to you about different things. So the little things He puts before you, we have to be integrous with what He puts before us, and don't worry about things, because God is the one who promotes us. You know, fear will cause you to be unfaithful. You see this story in Matthew chapter 25, verse 24 and 25 here. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. And so we see this one fellow, he began to be fearful about being productive. We shouldn't be afraid of what God has given us. Celebrate it. Be glad about it. Glory to God. And do what you're supposed to do with it, and bless people. Become a blessing. Fear causes unfaithfulness. All we want to hear in the end from Jesus and God, and that good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Many people assume that they're going to get the same blessing as the next guy beside them because they're just born again. They're going to get the same blessing, but that's not true from what we read in the Bible, because some people will lose blessings here and there. If you read the New Testament, you'll see that God will, you know, what you're supposed to have, even in this particular incident, He gave, whatever to another person. If you don't do something, somebody else is going to come and do it. You ever notice that? God will bring somebody else on and get to do what you're supposed to do. I remember Doug Jones. You know, he was a good man. He's been still there at the Rhema, and he decided that he's been teacher there for like 40 years now at Rhema. And he decided that he went to Brother Hagin's office and said, it's time for me to fly on my own. I'm going to leave. I feel like I have to leave and leave the ministry here and go do my own thing, have my own ministry. So he sat down, and Brother Hagin and Aretha talked to him and said, you know, maybe it's not a good season for you to go. It's maybe, you know, and but they didn't convince him to stay. He had to make his own decision, because he said, if I convince him to stay, he's going to blame me for everything that happens to me. He said, I'm just going to leave him go and not really talk him into staying. And I've done that too in this church. I just don't talk to, if somebody said that God told me to go, I said, you go right ahead and go. Because I learned my lesson long time ago that you can't talk anybody out of something. I just say, you go ahead, bless you, be a blessing wherever you go. Just be a better Christian wherever you go. Give more money, pray more, and serve more, and attend more church. Do whatever he has to do. Win more people to Jesus. You go right ahead. I said, you know, you don't belong to me. I don't have no ties for you, and I'm not going to manipulate you to stay here. And that's how it is. And Brother Higgins said, tell you, I learned from him. He said, tell your people, if they feel there's somewhere else you want to go, just you go ahead, and unless God tells you to tell them. Most of the time, we don't tell you to tell them because they have to learn on their own. But we have to be a blessing wherever we are. So faithful people get blessed. You know, and God's a blessing. And God, it says here, Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that make haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man abound with blessings. You know, in the kingdom of God, is not a democratic or a communism. Everybody gets the same deal, or, you know, we're going to get blessed together. God expects us to you know, it's not democratic. You know, you don't vote for something, then think, if God tells you to do something, well, I will take a vote with my friend, see if I'll do this or not. No, God wants you to do something. He asks you to do it. And they not only abound, but they're promoted. We see in Matthew 25:21, it says, the Lord said unto him, thou well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. We see here that's a good lesson from these scriptures. You know, the Bible says that faithful people are actually rare people, rare to find faithful people. When you really come down to really looking at it from a biblical standpoint, you see they're very rare. God calls somebody somewhere and to do something. And we'll just see this over here by looking at this example. Proverbs 20 and verse 6, the Message Bible says this. I like it in the Message Bible. I looked at it in different versions. It says there are lots of people claim to be loyal and loving. But where on earth can you find one? And most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but faithful who can find? Proverbs 20, verse 6, the King James says. Amplified says, many a man proclaims his own loyalty and goodness, but who can find a faithful and trustworthy man? These are scriptures that tell us that it's rare to find faithful people. You find people, like, that's why in the church, you try to find someone who's faithful. You might find talented people, but you might not find that faithful people. You know he'll stay no matter what happens. You know people stay for a while only if they get blessed in the church, or if you look at him and put his name on the wall and give him a certificate and haul him up and parade him around every year. There's some people year after year, no matter what you do, they're going to be faithful. They're going to be faithful no matter what. And the Bible says rare to find someone like that. If the Bible said it, then it must be true. You find it very, very hard to find someone who's faithful. And God, you know, I mean, you look at the scriptures, he said, faith, what does faithful mean? It means to be reliable. I'm looking in this other, I wrote some notes many years ago, and I said the definition of faithful. Generally, the word means to be trustworthy, loyal, and true. Generally speaking, trustworthy, loyal, and true. You know, something similar to that, it means to be constant, upright, dependable, devoted. You find people who are faithful that you see that in them. The Greek word for faithfulness is the word pistos. It means to be trusted, reliable, true, and sure. That word says to be trusted. You can trust someone to do it. You can be sure, reliable. They're going to be reliable. They're going to get it done. They'll have it done for you. They say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that done. And they get it done. It's good to have a partner like that. It's good to have a husband, a wife like that. And thank God that we can celebrate our wives and those that are around us that are faithful, right? Thank God. Thank God that we can have that. So it means to be reliable, dependable, trustworthy. God himself is faithful. The epitome of the definition of faithfulness is God. The scriptures defines God as faithful and true and sure. His word is sure. His word is reliable. Amen? God is looking for faithful people who are just like him, that can be relied on, that can be devoted. God has devoted so much to you that he will never break his word to you. But we break our word in the moment compared to God. We'll only keep our word only if it does us any good. If it's not going to do us any good at that moment, we're not going to enjoy anything about it. We'll just say, well, maybe I better think about this. I'm telling you the truth. We only do things because if it makes you feel good or makes us feel good. But if we're going to have to suffer, we won't do it. It's going to cost too much money. It's too early in the morning. It's too late at night. It's too long. It's too hard and too far away. Amen? That's how it is. You find a lot of people have all kinds of excuses why they couldn't come to church. Oh, there's, you know, the baby had a sore toe. You know, he lost his baby tooth. We couldn't find the keys. Well, take a taxi. You want to really be faithful, yeah, go ahead and take a taxi, hitchhike, do something. When you were drinking, you hitchhiked everywhere. When you went to the bingo, man, you just got any kind of ride you had with no hat on, no shoes, you just went on the bus. That's what my grandpa used to say. So God is looking for those kinds of dependable people. In churches, people are not always faithful and want to be promoted. No matter how small a job is, do it. It doesn't matter who sees you or who pats you on the back. God is always faithful. As I mentioned, he's the epitome of faithful. Jesus said, Matthew 28:20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. He's given a command to teach people. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God says, I'm going to be with you all the time. When you feel so alone, so forlorn, so beaten down, you can know God is there with you. And he's going down with you. If you go down, he goes down. He's always there. He says, lo, I'm with you. Like Dr. Beebe says, you know, evidently he was talking to one of the guys named Lo. Lo was there. God has said he's always there. He's always there. You know, faithful leaders in the church are always there. The faithful ones are going to be there no matter what. They're always there. You come in there, see them Sunday morning, Sunday night, special meetings, seminars, whatever. And if you need them in the church, they're there. And you got full-time jobs, you got this other thing, and they're there. But some people, they want to be promoted, but they're never around. They're only there if they're done doing their favorite thing. You can say amen. I'm saying the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It's hard to swallow, even for me. Right? It's hard to swallow. I'm teaching you that the Word of God. That's the way the Word says over here. So, he said, I'm with you always. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such as things you have. For he had said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature, be free from the love of money. Shun greed. Be financially ethical. Being constant with what you have. Be content with whatever you have. For he said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up or leave you without support. I will, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly, no, not ever. Hebrews 13:5, the Amplified says. You better read that several times and keep that in your shoe or wherever you can put it. Pull it out every time. Why is that Jerry looking at his shoe every week? Well, at the same time, You know? Well, he thinks God's faithful, they say. Well, he is. God, you know, he'll tell you, he'll invite you to do things for him in certain places. And like I mentioned, you don't have to be asked by me or anybody in the staff to do something here, to clean up, to do whatever in the church. You can just come and say, I'm going to clean up the over here. I'm just going to start cleaning the floor. We're not going to stop you. We're going to say, hey, stop them. Stop them right now. They're cleaning the floors. They're moving the snow from the front. Stop them. Stop them. We won't stop you. You say, well, I'm going to, Pastor, should I paint that? I said, go right ahead, paint it. You know, they ask me around here, what kind of colors do I want? I said, I don't really care. Just paint it. And they paint everything the same color. Floors and all look the same color. You blend right in. You buy a nice suit. Looks like that. So some people only want to help and get it only when their leadership job is available. You call me when they got that big job, they say. And if there are a lot of people there going to clap for me, I'll be there. And parade me around, you know, once a year. Give me an acknowledgement. Sometimes I've learned that some people like all acknowledgements as a leader. You pay them that way, and the ministry helps. You just say, there's brother so-and-so. Let's stand up, brother so-and-so. Listen, this guy here, man, he's done so much work, and he's just beaming away. And that's good because that's how he is. But you shouldn't do that just because he always wants that, but he gets blessed by that. We recognize him. That's okay to recognize someone that way. And we can't be like the Pharisees who just pray and do things just because to be seen. Jesus said they already have their reward. There was no reward from me. The reward they got is those guys clapping for them right there. That's it. Did you ever read that? How much you ever read that, the Bible? Yeah? You read it. Just look it up. It says that the Pharisees like to walk around in long robes and they pray long prayers in the synagogue, in the street corners. They like to be greeted by people, you know, and given the best seats. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't pray. Remember one time he says, you know, don't tell people that if somebody is a poor person, don't tell people, hey, I gave that guy $100. He needed food and I gave him $100. Jesus said, don't do that. In fact, it's wrong because you made that guy embarrassed. God doesn't embarrass anybody. I said, God doesn't embarrass anybody. He won't do that. One time I know a guy was in a service and an evangelist said, hey, is anybody here? You need something from God? Come on up, I want to pray for you. The anointing is here. And everybody all excited. They went up there and then that evangelist, he told everybody, ladies and gentlemen, this young man here is suffering from, you know, he begins to tell all his trouble. What if that guy had problems with masturbation? I said, this young man here has problems with masturbation. Let's go ahead and pray for him right now. You think I'm going to go up there and get prayed for? You kidding? I'm serious. You're not supposed to do stuff like that. I know some of you are shocked. I said masturbation. That's not a bad word. It describes something. But you see, we need to understand that God is not in that business. So when it's time to give accolade, we do it. But don't do it all the time just because that's what you want in order for you to help. Who gets used in the church? People who are faithful. So many people have excuses. Invited, they want to be invited. You know, just like in the banquet, Jesus said, you know, invite all the people there. Come on, bring them. Everybody had an excuse, right? Jesus said, come on, invite all these people up to the special dinner. And they said, no, I got this going on. I got this business over here. My family's got this. My home is like this way. And God said, got mad, right? Just go get everybody else. Bring them in. And so I don't think God's pleased when we don't help, when we don't serve, we're not faithful. Some examples of faithful people in the Bible. Jonathan, David's armor bearer, he said, I'm going to be with you. Listen, if whatever you do, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be there. He said, I'm going to take this over here. Yeah, go right ahead. I'm going to help you. He didn't say, oh, you would not do that. We might get killed. Ruth and Naomi. Ruth said, your God is be my God, and wherever you go, I'll be there. And, Ruth said, you know, listen, you go home now, you're free. He said, no, I'm going to be wherever you go. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be where you be. That's amazing. You read the story about it? It's a blessed story. How about Elijah and Elisha? Elisha says, as the Lord lives, I will never leave you, Elisha said to Elijah. He was a ministry helps in that man's servant, in that ministry. The Bible said he washed the man of God's hands, poured water on his hands, and served as a minister in that man's ministry. And he helped him. And in fact, here's what Elisha said. And you take a good note of this. You take a good note of this thing. Because Elisha said, listen, don't follow me. I'm okay. Leave you're free. And Elisha said, I'll never leave you. Why? Because God told Elisha, go and follow this man. See, if God told Pastor Ken to come and help me, if I said, listen, that's okay, if God told him, he's going to be here. And if God didn't tell him, he's not going to be here. And if God did tell him and he's not here, he loses the blessing. And I watched Pastor Hagin and I watched Keith Moore. God told Keith Moore, go help Brother Hagin. That's all he said. He said, Brother Hagin never invited me. The Hagins never invited me. He said, I just made myself available. I showed up. I just go ahead and I do whatever. I'm here. We're here. We're going to do whatever you want. And he said, I stayed. Brother Hagin never invited me. I just went ahead. And all of a sudden, I'm doing this and that. And all of a sudden, I'm doing little things. He said, one day I'm helping at the platform. Next day, I'm doing mail. I'm doing mail outs and licking stamps and folding this and that. And then, you know. He didn't say, listen, I'm a good singer, man. I make records. I'm not going to lick stamps. And look at him now. He was with Brother Hagin for 20-some years. He did healing school. He never did healing school in his life. He started to say, do healing school. Okay, I'll do it. And he did it. Take a good lesson from Elijah, Elisha. He said, I will not, don't follow. I'm going over here. He said, no, I'm coming with you. It's a principle. He didn't have to be asked. He didn't say, listen, Elisha, follow me. I'm going to go. I want you to help me. No, he just went on his own. He's faithful. Faithful people is going to be there. Just because the man said you don't have to do this, and if God told you to do this, you do it. It's not right for you to leave out what God told you to do. So this man, Elisha, got double portion. It's not right for us to leave our post, wherever God tells us, whatever he tells us to do. We just can't leave anytime we want to, wherever God sends us, or leave things undone, pack up if things don't go right, if we don't like things, it's not suitable to our liking. We stay where God told us to stay. Whether it's places or relationships or whatever ministry. Brother Hagin said to Keith Moore once, do you know why I'm settled in my life? Why I got settled? He said, every place the Lord sent me, it was so hard. It was so hard for me to stay wherever God sent me. All those little churches I went to, he said to stay there. I went there. I suffered. Man, I suffered. He said, there's times I just want to pack up my bags, pack up my truck, and just leave without telling anybody. Goodbye to state. He said, you know why? He said, I grew and learned and was faithful to God, whatever he said to do. Wherever you go, you must suffer at times to get settled. Over in the 1 Peter, as I close out with this scripture verse, 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace who had called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Notice that. Make you perfect. Establish you, strengthen you, settle you. People are settled because they suffer, they grow. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience. He suffered obedience. We suffer to follow God. We suffer to follow Him. And that's the one suffering that we need to be reminded of. We need to stay where we are and do what God says to do and appreciate the little that He gives us. You know, if He told you to do something, we need to follow. You need to follow. God never told you to transfer yourself or assign you another assignment on your own. He'll find you when He needs you. Amen? Let's go ahead and close. Father, we want to thank You. In the name of Jesus, You are faithful. You are the faithful God. You said in Hebrews 11:11 that Sarah judged Him to be faithful. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your merciful kindness. Oh, You're a compassionate Lord. Thank You that we desire to be like You. You are faithful. And forgive us, Lord, where we have never not been faithful. And so we pick up where we left off, and we renew our commitment to You, Lord, tonight. And we will do what You said to do. We'll be faithful in the little things. And Lord, You are a faithful God. You'll move me, speak to me whenever You want to do whatever You said to do. Thank You. You are a God that promotes. You said a faithful man will abound with blessings. And so we expect this from You. And no matter what happens in our lives, if it's causing us a little bit of hardship to obey You, we're going to obey You anyway. We thank You for this time. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen and amen. Well, you have a good night. Bless you. Have a good time. Shake a few hands. Hug a few people.